Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, July 6th, 2014. Reverend John Reed is preaching. Today's sermon is Making Life Count. Our New Testament reading for today is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9.
Dreams could actually really fell apart, but they resonate with us. Stories are able to do that, and we give thanks to that. We're starting a series today about the parables, stories that change the world. And today we're looking at the parable of the sower. And before we go into that, it might be helpful for us to remember what the whole purpose of parables were all about. Parables were stories taken from everyday life. And that's why this one has a farmer. Some of them have sheep, shepherds. They've got mothers, daughters, fathers, sons. They've got masters and servants and slaves. It's all everyday life aspects that Jesus draws through. And parables usually present two pictures. And we see the two pictures, and part of it is which describes us. What is it that's happening as we go through? And today, parable, we've got four different pictures that are there as well. And we know parables are there to convey a deeper meaning in relation to God and our spirituality and ourselves to those who are open to listening, to hearing. One of the things that we hear Jesus say at various times in the parables, as it ended with this one, those who have ears, let them hear. The Isaiah passage, you know, you're not listening. And one of the things we need to understand is the concept that unless you're open to hear something, you're not going to hear it. And that's what happens. I mean, realistically, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what Jesus' parables are about if we're looking for something spiritual. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand them. It's whether we're able and willing to listen to them. And sometimes we're just not open to listening. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at, as he said, you know, some are not going to hear. They're not there because they're not listening for it. They've shut themselves out, shut themselves away, are not wanting to listen, don't want to hear as to what's happening. It's not that God has shut their ears up, has blinded them and going through. It's that they're not willing to hear. They're not willing to listen. A colleague shared a story about when his younger daughter was, I think she was about 7 or 8 years old, and she'd watched a TV show. It was an hour-long TV show, and he walked in and sat down. He'd come up from work and said, what was the show about? So she then proceeded to tell him about the show, and it took her 2 hours to tell him about the show. And he said, I have a habit, as many men have a habit of doing, of listening and nodding, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. And his daughter at one point said, took her hands, put them in the head, said, Daddy, listen to me. I'm talking. You know, because he wasn't hearing what she was saying. That happens to me. We'll be sitting down, and Allison will be watching a show. She's interested in it. I'm not necessarily interested in it, so I've got my computer out, and I'm playing solitaire. And all of a sudden, I realize she's talking to me. And I've got no idea what she said. Or I was halfway listening, and I think I should be saying yes when she should be saying no. See, I was not open. I had ears, but I wasn't listening. And that's kind of, I think, what's happening with the idea of the parables, is people will hear what the parables are about if they're seeking, if they are open. I mean, the other thing is that Jesus basically said the parable and left it at that. Not many are explained. I mean, take today's parable, for instance. A farmer went out to sow seed, and as he sowed seed, some scattered and fell on the rock, on the hard path, and they couldn't take root, and the birds came and ate it up, and they were gone. And then some fell amongst the rocky soil that has very little soil to it, and so they sent their roots down, they started to grow up, but the sun came and they withered away because they couldn't put their roots down into the soil. And then some fell among the thorns and the weeds, and as the weeds grew up, it choked them out. They couldn't get the nutrients from the soil, they couldn't get the sunlight, and so they died out. And some fell on the good soil and produced 160 and 30-fold. There's my sermon, folks. I mean, that's what the parables were. He didn't explain them. That was it. So now I'll take 35 minutes explaining what this parable is about. No. But I mean, that was it. The parables were there for people to hear, and those who were seeking, trying to figure things out, realized that it was a parable about themselves and what kind of soil they were. And so we're going to kind of look at that a little bit today and look at other parables as we go through the next few weeks. One of the things that we realize, first of all, of course, is the sower is actually God. I mean, we understand that God is the one scattering the seed, and it goes back to the very beginning. God planted a garden, God sowed the seeds in the east, and he called it Eden, right? So God sent this garden out. God is that ultimate sower that we have. But also we realize that Jesus was the one sowing as well and sowing the seed. And ultimately, we also become sowers if we follow the path God sets before us, and we scatter seed. Parables are also self-exams for ourselves of spiritually who we are and what we are like. And we need to pay attention to the stories to see which is it, which soil am I? The reality is, of course, that we are all the different soils at different times in our life. But as we look at this and we go through, we want to see that here's a path that we've got. And as you look at this, we realize that now this is a modern day path, so you might see some tire treads in there and going through. People walk along. Nothing grows there. It's packed down. There's not much dirt that's there. People walk on it. They drive over it. The seeds can't take root. And so, like I say, those are the ones. Those that aren't open, don't want to hear what God has to say, don't think they need anything about that, then it's not going to take root. Nothing's going to happen. These are people that, for whatever reason, don't want to hear about God, don't want to know about God, don't believe in God. Sometimes it's young people who have gotten through high school, they get into college, and a lot of things challenge them, and they go through, and people question, you know, why do you believe in that fairy tale anymore? God isn't real. You know, what really could God be doing for you? That's a superstition we've had long ago. And doubts start to rise, and rather than seek answers, they say, yes, that makes sense, and so they close themselves off. Other times, people, something may have happened to them in their life, and they feel their faith didn't help them, didn't strengthen them, and so they shut God out of their lives. The truth is, sadly enough, is that the vast majority of Christians in this country have a faith level of second grade. Their faith hasn't gone deep. It's kind of like the ones on the shallow roots. They don't go through. And let me ask you something. How many of you would work with a CPA who had second grade math? Oh, come on. Someone ought to do that. Oh, would you, Steve? Okay. Because you only have first grade, right? But yeah, that's that level. How many of us would hand War and Peace to a second grader and expect them to be able to read it and understand it and grasp it? You see, at a second grade level, our faith isn't strong enough. We don't teach the deeper aspects of faith at second grade. That's where we need to grow and mature. But a lot of times, because people didn't have that depth, they become the hard-packed soil, and they aren't open to it. And that leads us into that second soil that he talked about, which is the rocky soil. These are pictures actually from is near Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, on the hillsides, a lot of the areas, there's limestone just underneath the dirt level. And a lot of times it's very, very shallow. And so you do get plants, and these are the plants that grew up, but then the sun comes out, the summer comes out, and the sun and the heat, and no water, no rain. And, of course, they shrivel and they die because there's nothing to sink their roots into. They can't sink down. They can't draw the nutrients up. And so they suffer, and they wither, and they die. And that goes back, you know, it's talking about, if we just stay at that immature faith spirituality, then when troubles come in this world, we don't have the faith to help us through. We don't have the understanding, the trust, the faith in God, that God's with us even in the midst of the difficult times. The second grade level of faith says, I believe in God, so everything's going to be fine. There will be no troubles. And if there are troubles, that means my faith just isn't strong enough and I can do better and something wrong with me. But God will fix it all. I mean, that's the second grade faith. And we realize there's times when things don't come out the way we want. I mean, how many of us really know that Jesus really desired, really wanted to, really enjoyed climbing up on that cross? I mean, he didn't want to have to die. That Thursday night, he says, is there a way to take this from me? But he succumbs and he follows through because of the depth of his faith, of knowing what God can do with that. But if we don't have that, if we just stay in that shallow soil, And how can we reach out to people in the world that are going through difficult times? How can we be there for them? And then they talk about the soil that falls among the thorns. This is a thorn weed patch along the side of the road that's there. And that's my bassoon playing, just to bring extra aspects into the picture. Did you kind of see that going through? And just, it's actually on the coast, and there's a big boat just off behind the horizon there. No. But you go through and you look at this and you see, and even our own gardens, if we watch and we plant things and we see weeds and the flowers come up at the same time, for some reason I always look at it and say weeds grow a whole lot faster than flowers do. And they can get up and they soak up the nutrients. They take things away and they choke them out. And Jesus calls this about being the cares of the world. You know, the world teaches what are the prominent things we're supposed to seek after according to the ways of the world? Wealth, status, power, and if you watch most of the TV shows now, sensuality. I mean, that's what we should be striving for in a world. Which do we go with? I'm finding that I am making decisions about books that I read and TV shows that I watch based upon my faith. Now, this is me. I'm going to share something. This is not me telling you, you have to do this. This is where I am. I've gotten to the point that if a show shows on television, shows too much skin, I don't want to watch the show. Because I don't want to become so accustomed to that that it doesn't bother me. If I'm watching a show where there is a lot of swearing and foul language, and I mean more than a storyline, I mean, I understand they want to do shows and here's what someone might say, but when you watch an hour show and almost every other sentence has swearing in it, and I mean vile swearing, I don't want to watch it. And so I choose not to watch that show. There are some movie stars that in just some of their private life, just some of their behavior has gotten to the point that I won't watch their movies. As much as the movies, how great they are, I won't watch them because I've chosen that I don't want to support that aspect. Now, that's me. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm not saying that you're bad if you don't do that. This is just where I've come down at a part of my life of what I do and trying to live differently than the world. I find that I need to do that so the cares and the ways of this world don't choke me. Because I found my language slipping at times when I watched too many of those shows. And I don't mean when I hit my thumb with a hammer or stub my toe, but just in conversation. Because I became used to it, and that's the way it was speaking, going, but that's not who I'm to be. And so I said, in order to help me stay within what God wants, I need to change that. I can't allow those weeds, those thorns, to choke out the spirit in me. There's a Native American, I think it's Cherokee story, about a grandfather talking to his grandson. And he says, "Grandson, there are two wolves at war within me. They are fighting each other. And one wolf is angry and vicious and vile and wants to kill and destroy, and it hates. And it's there just to destroy anything it can get its teeth into. It wants to rip things apart. And the other wolf is one that wants to live in peace and harmony and wants to help support people and wants to show that the world is all one creation. We're all brothers and sisters. And the same war is going on inside you, grandson, and every other person that there is." And the grand says, "Grandfather, which wolf is going to win?" And the grandfather says, "The wolf that you feed." What do we feed? Do we feed the weeds? Or do we feed the flowers and the plants? Howard Fitzpatrick, after the first service, came up to me and said, the image that came to him was, "Am I Roundup or am I Miracle-Gro?" And that was a pretty good one too. You know, what is it that we do? What do we feed? Where do we go? What soil are we that we produce that? And then, of course, there's the good soil, the soil that has nutrients, that is out there that people can plant. The roots can grow deep down into the soil, get all the nutrients that they need. The farmer can get out, can tend them, can weed, can water, can take care of the plants, and they nurture and they grow and they produce. And they produce 160 and 30-fold. You know, as the harvest comes in and the one seed is saved, or not one, but the seeds are saved and planted the next year, one seed is planted, and look what it produces in coming up. That's where we are, and that's who we are to be. This parable has several things to it. One, obviously, is which soil are we? And as I said, at times we're the different soils, but which soil do we want to be? What kind of sower are we? God planted that garden in Eden and set humanity in there to care for it, to tend it. That was our purpose. That was making our life count. We didn't care for it. We stumbled, we fell, we ran away, we pushed God away. But really, nowadays, to make our life count means we need to be that good soil so we can produce, so we can scatter seed. Another person has said that if every Christian in the world stopped scattering seed, stopped sharing their faith, Christianity would die out in one generation. And it's true. We're the soil, but we're also the sowers. We need to be scattering the seed. One of the things that strikes me is, as the farmer is sowing seed and it falls on the path, you know, why don't you be a little more careful and throw it on the path? Why, and why are you throwing it in amongst the soil that's so shallow? And why scatter it into the thorns? Get it all onto the good soil. But you see, the sower scatters it indiscriminately. God scatters it where it will. Because at some point, but even on the beaten path, miracles happen. I don't know if you can see this or not, but right up here, the little red that's up there, that's a rose. This is from Glastonbury, England, the ruins of the Glastonbury Cathedral that is not there anymore, because when King Henry left the Catholic Church, began the Church of England, a lot of the Roman Catholic churches and cathedrals, the stones were taken out to build other things within the villages. And so there's just ruins that are here. And this is an archway. And in the archway, there's a rose that is growing. Somehow it found a little niche. And yes, we can say, but it's not going to be able to grow for very long because there's not much soil there. There's not many nutrients there. But someone had shared with us, this was the third year they had seen this rose in that spot. So even at times on the beaten path, somehow a crack opens up and the seed falls in and miracles happen. And that's why God scatters seed indiscriminately. We don't know what will take place. But unless it's scattered, it has no opportunity. The person that's closed off will never have the possibility that when they finally have a crack in their facade, they need to be able to have that seed all of a sudden germinate and bloom within them and bring them hope and bring them life. So we look at this and we realize we need to be the soil that nurtures within ourselves a strong and a deep and a faith that's full of intellect and reason and faith and surprise and miracles and wonders and unexplained things. Because there's a world out there that has been beaten down and is a hard path or has very little soil or is being dominated by the thorns and the weeds. And we need to be the ones, as we've been the good soil, to be ready to scatter the seed in their lives and show them hope. Another colleague shared a story, a question he asked his congregation, and that was, when you get to heaven, how many people are going to walk up to you and say, thank you. Thank you for sharing with me about your church, about God, about Jesus, about scattering your seed where it took root within me to bring me hope and life. I thought about that. And it just hit me. What do we do? What's our soil? How do we scatter seed? I went into the ministry because I went through really very difficult times as a young person. Struggled with a lot of things. I grew up in the church, but my faith didn't mean much to me. And get into college, and after college, my life really hit rock bottom. I've shared the story before. But I went into ministry, especially with youth ministry, to give them a foundation so that when they went through difficulties, they would have something I didn't. They would have Christ. And that was the whole reason I went into ministry. I think that's something that we can all say this is what we need to be doing. What better thing can we do with our lives than scattering seed, than being the soil, than giving roots to faith and sharing it with others? This is what we are about. This is who we are. This is what we were meant to be. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.